Our sermon tonight is from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 4 through 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, starting with verse 4. If the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position, because composure allays great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, like an air which goes forth from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. He who digs a pit may fall into it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen it again, then he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. If the serpent bites before being charmed, there is no profit for the charmer. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness. Yet the fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? The toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to a city. Woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad, and whose princes feast in the morning! Blessed are you, O land, whose king is of nobility, and whose princes eat at the appropriate time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Through the indolence, the rafters sag, and through slackness, the house leaks. Men prepare a meal for enjoyment, and wine makes life merry, and money is the answer to everything. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king. And in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. For a bird of the heavens will carry the sound of the winged creature, will make the matter known. Pray with me. Father, help us as we come now and we look at many proverbs. As you have spoken to us in your word, please bless us now with wisdom, with understanding, that you will be glorified in our speech and the ways that we present ourselves. We need your help. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at the scripture, we see that in a number of places, most specifically, we could look in the book of Hebrews and see that the word of God is compared to a sword, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We touched this morning on from the Proverbs that words from a fool can wound like the thrust of a sword, but wise words bring healing to a person. As we look here, we're going to see that there are many places throughout this section of Scripture where it's giving us insight about wise speech. I remember I noticed at one point in my life I seemed to have this way about me where I could look at a situation and I could say something that could be just shocking enough and surprise people just enough that I couldn't be held accountable for any sin. And I enjoyed so much seeing people's jaw drop and hear them gasp. And that's not necessarily a good thing. I began to wonder as I dealt with older men and men who were much more godly than me, they seemed to have a different ability. And it seemed to be that ability that we saw in Ephesians 4:29, to let no unwholesome word proceed from our mouths, but only such a word as gives grace for the building up of people. And I wondered, what would it be like if that was my default setting? That rather than shocking people in a moment, if I could say something to people in a moment, to give them the grace that they needed, that they would be built up, and they would be encouraged. What would it be like to be in an assembly of people who were so blessed and able to bless one another? I understand that this is a very high calling for us. There's a lot of difficulty here. And as we learn and as we learn different things, there's a precision to the things that we do, a precision to the ways that we speak. I had mentioned before I was reading a book on running. Following that time, I was sitting with Dick Seery, and he did that, gave me that look that he gives me sometimes as if I'm some kind of idiot. And he asked, "What could a whole book on running say?" Because the idea in his mind is you just move your arms faster and you move your legs faster. Therefore, you're running. You would read a book on moving your arms and your legs faster? Well, I assure you, there are many books on running. And we're having a sermon now on speech. For those of us who haven't learned to catch a stride, for those of us who don't have a lot of form or ability to our speech to give grace to those who need it, it'll be a bit of a challenge for us. And as I'm about to lay down six steps for you, if that's too much, just pick one of them. Just take one. We can actually be in the place, and it's a wonderful place, that we're slow to speak. That in a moment, we would actually carefully consider what we are about to say in order to give grace to the people who are near us. That we will be doing that very thing that we read about in Ephesians chapter 4, using the gifts that we have been given to strengthen the body, that we will be encouraged and that we can move forward together. So the call for you tonight is this wonderful high calling to speak only words of wisdom that will weigh out the things that we are going to say in order to build each other up and not to tear people down. Our first step, number one, is be composed. Verse 4, if the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position because composure allays great offenses. It takes great effort for us, and we have to be in a beautiful place not to be pulled off sides into a place of anger or wrath. People are going to say things to you, and you will be offended. Know that's coming. There's your warning. It's like when the doctor says, "This is going to sting." You know that it's coming. The question will be, how do we respond when we are being stung or when we are being hurt? A physical example from my own life. I was painting the front of my parents' house when I was a child. We had scaffolding up three stories. And I was taking a shutter off, and it's banging a gutter as I'm trying to take this thing off. And eventually, as I'm banging the gutter and banging the gutter, I hear a buzzing sound. I look over, and I had stirred up a yellow jacket's nest on the corner of the house. They became very aware of me. I was swarmed by yellow jackets, and I can still see them in my mind swinging forward, sticking out their little bottoms, and flying at my eyeballs. And at that point, I had to climb down the ladder, not the ladder, but the scaffolding, as slowly and as carefully as I could while being stung in the face by yellow jackets. Welcome to the Christian life. People are going to take shots at you. People are going to sting you. People are going to hurt you. It's for us to stand in that place of grace, to respond in accordance with grace, in accordance with love. That we won't be, again, pulled off sides. That we will respond with composure. And we see here also in verse 4 that we're not just to give up a righteous position, though. Even if we are being threatened, even if we are in danger, but to stand in a righteous position, a position with Christ, but to respond with love. Our next step, number 2, is to watch for foolishness in exalted places. Verses 5 through 7. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, like an error which goes forth from the ruler. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I have seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on the land. Foolishness is going to be exalted. We are going to look at people and just be shocked at the positions that they are in. We could move back and look at verse 4 and see the position that the person is in. There is a ruler who's taking issue with him. He cannot, but our man cannot be pulled off sides. We see in verse 16, "Woe to you, O land, whose king is a lad, and whose princes feast in the morning." That there is this painful and this dangerous place that we fall into. Now, we see a different strand, and this is for our encouragement here in verse 17. "Blessed are you, O land, whose king is nobility." Well, what would that look like in the United States? Blessed are you if your king is nobility. I remind you of 1 Peter 2:19, of the nobility. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The nobility that we look for now is people who are in Christ. Blessed are you, O land, if your leaders are those who call on Christ. That would be a place of nobility. And you and I are in a place to respond to the foolishness that we would see that is being exalted in the high places in our land and in our government. Our third step is learn the meaning of words and try to understand people. Those are two different things, but here's how they come together. Verses 9 and 10, "He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits logs may be endangered by them. If the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, he must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success." It's a dangerous place dealing in wisdom. It's a dangerous place because you will be putting pressure on people that they will not enjoy. Consider trying to make a fool be wise or make a fool do the right thing. If you are at all like me, you have tried this at all of the wrong times in your life. You have thrown your pearls before swine, and they have turned and they have trampled you underfoot. Well, it takes wisdom to know the proper time and the proper way to engage people, to hear them and to understand them. This idea, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen its edge, then he must exert more strength. I heard a man said to me one time, he said, "You never waste time by sharpening a tool." What he meant by that was, it is never a waste of time to sharpen a tool. I've learned the hard way that a dull knife is more dangerous than a sharp one, as you apply pressure trying to get it to cut and then it moves when you don't expect it to. Wisdom is similar. You're not wasting time if you're growing in knowledge. You're not wasting time if you're growing in understanding. The scripture commands me to live with my wife in an understanding way. That's a high calling. It's a high calling to understand people, to take the time to listen to them. And a wonderful principle in listening to people and understanding them is to work until you can state their position back to them in such a way that they are satisfied. Then a person has been heard, and then they can hear you once they are satisfied that they have been heard. We see that if we are slack in this, or if we are lazy in this, we see in verse 18 that there is a laziness and there is a neglect that causes the rafters to sag, and that through slackness then that the house leaks. If people walked by and looked at our church building and looked at the roof and saw it sagging, if people walked in and looked and saw the floor was wet every time it rained, people would say, "What kind of deacon do you have?" Well, that's not what we have. That is not the situation that we are in. But if we look at our lives and we are constantly injuring people like the thrusts of a sword, there's evidence there that we're not wise, but we're foolish. It takes time, and it's not a waste of time to cultivate wisdom and to cultivate hearing people in order to bless people and in order to build them up. Our next step, number 4, is be gracious with your speech. Verses 12 through 13. "Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, This means you don't feel like you just got slapped when you are speaking to them. And people don't feel like they just got slapped when you spoke to them. There is a gentleness that is to come. And as we look through here, we see these truths that will pull together and put us into a great place and put us in a gracious place as we are dealing with others. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. I can see that there have been times in my life where I have really blown it. I have not kept my composure in dealing with people. You want to know where the best time and the best test for this is? It's in your house. Children, the ways that you love your brothers and sisters, those of you who live with anyone, the gracious ways that you deal with the people that are closest to you, is your place to practice. If you are constantly or often slapping your sibling with words, you could just take a sign that says fool and hang it around your neck. I invite you to repent of that place, to apply Ephesians 4:29 to your life, even in dealing with your siblings, to let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it gives grace to those who hear. Colossians 4:6, your speech must always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Now, there's a lot of wisdom applied to this because it's not just being in the place of grace and saying, yes, 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 okay, okay, okay. We look here in the first verse that we started with that we don't give up our position, but we stand and we operate from a place of composure. That we are speaking the truth in love, in our closest circles. And our house is the place to teach that. That when our children go into the world or we're out in the world, that we're already so practiced that we can speak the truth in love and we can maintain our position. That is being gracious with our speech. Our next step, and some of you may be tempted to try to apply this to me right now, watch out for too many words. Verse 14. Yet the fool multiplies words. Don't go on and on. Don't drag it out. Don't be long-winded. Be quicker to hear and to listen. James 1:19. You know this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Now everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. If I could just get that on my gravestone and to count for it to be real. Well, he was quick to hear. He was slow to speak. He was slow to anger. I would take that as a testimony anytime. So be careful. Take your time. You're not wasting time sharpening your tools. You're not wasting time listening. So often, and there's this idea that when someone brings something to you, you automatically enter refutation mode. You automatically fall back into the defense. You're already preparing your defense and your counterattack to the person. That's not listening. That's just drawing back for the punch. But if we are careful, if we are being quick to hear and working to understand, sharpening that wisdom, we are in a much better place and we will be more prepared to give the words that are needed for the grace of the moment. Our sixth step, and you might as well scratch out what I had put there, is don't say about people what you haven't said to them. Verse 20. I'll just give you a saying that my great aunt used to throw out every now and then. If she knew something you didn't expect her to know, she would say, "A little birdie told me." I always thought that was just goofy and foolish, but now I see it's actually rooted in Scripture. Verse 20. Furthermore, in your bedchamber, do not curse a king, and in your sleeping rooms, do not curse a rich man. For a bird of the heavens will carry the sound, and the winged creature will make the matter known. This is not to be interpreted literally. You don't have to look and see if there's a sparrow on your windowsill before you talk bad about me. It's not going to make a bit of difference. It is warning us, however, that there is no safe time to sin with our mouths. There is no safe time to badmouth people behind their backs. Ephesians 4:29 applies in every situation. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Matthew 5:18 applies directly to this. There have been times, with me, and I'm guessing times with you as well, when you were all of a sudden shocked that someone you told something to about someone else, they did not have the discretion that you expected them to have. And it went further than you ever imagined or intended. And you were shocked, you were hurt, you were even embarrassed by what had happened. Well, this only happens if we're not practicing Matthew 5:18. If you have something against a person, speak it to them rather than speaking it to other people. Another way to express this is, if you have to cut someone, do it while you look them in the eye rather than stabbing them in the back. It is right and good and appropriate, and it is scriptural that if someone has sinned against you, you are to go to that person one-on-one and address it with them. If they hear you, you've won your brother back. If they haven't, take two or more with you so that every testimony can be established by two or more witnesses. If they won't listen to them, you bring it to the church. Then there is no shock. You said what about me? Yeah, I said it about you, and I already said it to your face. And an elder and I came and addressed it with you too. But it is easier to stab someone in the back. It is easier to talk about someone behind their back. This is not an example of gracious speech. It is gracious to go directly to someone to help them in their error and to be quick to listen, to hear them, and slow to speak, and when necessary also slow to anger. So we have these blessed truths given to us by Solomon. I invite you to look over these. I invite you to consider the ways and the times that you have injured others. It may even be time to go to others and to ask for forgiveness when they have been injured. To seek to repair relationships, that God would be glorified. To consider if you've been holding on to anger in your heart towards other people. We are not to let the sun go down on our anger. We are to be in a place of forgiveness. So look through these. See where your speech is or has been unwise. Work to slow down in the things that you are saying, that you'll be quick to hear and slow to speak, that each of us will be working in the direction of only speaking words of wisdom. Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for giving us instruction. We thank you for telling us what is right and good and beautiful and wholesome. Please help each of us as we all stumble and we all struggle. Please help us as we look at words of wisdom and as we adjust our steps in accordance with wisdom, that you will be glorified in the body that's being blessed and encouraged and strengthened and built up in love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.